there is zero chance we will hit our target with inauthentic, for want of a better word, bad brands. So that would not be a success. A success would be where we help Strava grow, we keep the experience great for the user, and we help brands grow as well.
Hello and welcome to Confessions of a B2B Marketer. We have a big episode for you today. We have Johnny Ross, who is in B2B marketing at Strava, is technically, I believe, the only B2B marketing person in Strava. So in this episode, we dig into one of the only B2B offerings that Strava has, and we get Johnny to break down what that is and how they're able to find and bring in clients for that specific thing. We also touch upon Johnny's thoughts on positioning and also Johnny's thoughts on the individual contributor versus the traditional marketing management career path. So let's jump into that discussion after we just said a big thanks to fame.so, who are the people that are creating, producing, etc. this podcast. Thank you so much. If you want one of these, go to fame.so. Let's jump into that discussion now. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So from my research, it seems like we might have a total, I don't want to age you here at all, Johnny, but we might have a total of 14 years in the marketing game. Is that accurate?
Sounds roughly right, yeah. Worryingly.
What has something over the past 14 years that's changed that's been surprising?
Ooh, I think it's difficult because I've not been a one industry marketer. I've kind of like spanned loads of different industries. I suppose like one point is just on search and SEO. It's obviously the cliche is it changes every few years. I think obviously what's going on at the moment with AI, no one really knows where the SEO world is going. And I think that is a real opportunity for some, but I think a lot of marketers are quite worried and anxious and confused about the whole piece. But I think SEO has definitely changed from being like a massive growth area and being like the number one focus for a lot of people to being like kind of a channel that you're a bit more nervous about these days.
Yeah, big question mark. And hopefully we'll potentially get into SEO. I'm not sure yet when we talk about the Sponsored Challenge product that you have, which I think is an awesome idea. But before that, I want to touch upon a couple of opinions that I think you have or thoughts that you have generally about marketing/B2B. So my first question is around your experience in the kind of different career routes through marketing, which is either you acquire loads of managees, I call the people that report to you, and then maybe do less of the actual work versus the IC or individual contributor route. So I'd love just to get your background in those career routes and then your thoughts on either.
Yeah, sure. Well, so I suppose throughout my career, I've usually been brought in to build a marketing team at a smaller company or a smaller organization. And typically, obviously, that means you hire a small team. And if you're lucky, you get to grow that team. And so I've kind of had a background doing that. I've done that in a few different places. And it's really how you build marketing teams, obviously. I think what I've come into at Strava is obviously a much, much larger company than I'm usually used to. Typically, the SMEs I'm working at have up to 100, 120 employees or so. Strava is literally four or so times bigger than that. So, and our team is, I suppose in a way, the overall team that I work within, the brand partnerships team, which is essentially the B2B team in Strava, it's only about 14 or so, 15. And I'm the sole IC marketer within that team. So it's a very different proposition there. To be quite honest, there's something that I quite like about it because you have to roll your sleeves up and get your hands dirty.
Mm.
So I think, to be completely honest, I've never been in this situation where I've managed a team so large that you can't get into the detail and actually kind of and really work tactically on stuff. But I think having spoken to a few other marketers, I think every marketer really wants to get their hands dirty. Like if you're just a people manager, that's no fun.
The brand partnerships team that you guys have, so there's no other people doing marketing on the team. I assume there's people doing sales, maybe like account management, but no one else responsible for bringing in the partnerships.
That's right. We have another member of my team, a superstar called Suds, who's shared with the wider partnerships team, which isn't just B2B and Strava. But no, in terms of like pure play marketing, if you like, I'm the only one for the team. It's a special case because obviously Strava is an absolutely massive brand. We get a huge amount of like organic, completely latent interest in Strava as a whole. So it's a very different role to going into an SME where you need to build demand from scratch. You need to explain the category and all this sort of stuff. It's a very different role, but yeah.
Okay, we'll get into that with respect to the Sponsored Challenge product shortly. So do you think then that you personally enjoy actually doing the stuff rather than managing?
Oh yeah, yeah, hugely. I think there's something very satisfying about hiring someone and growing them into a role. I'm a very firm believer that if you get headcount and you have the privilege of hiring people, you do the best you possibly can to hire the best person, and you just stay out of their lane. You help them, you support them, and you trust them to grow. And hopefully that's the way it works, and it works well. So I should stress that I'm definitely not one of these people that nitpicks and like dives into someone else's Google Doc and fiddles with all of that. And so, but no, I definitely do enjoy like working tactically, I'd say, yeah.
And how long did it take you to realize that? Did you like get into a team, you had 5 direct reports, and you're like, well, I really hate managing?
I think it's only when you're managing, I imagine when you're managing kind of more than 6, 7, 8 people, that you really like do need, your most of your work is like resource allocation, keeping people happy, thinking strategically, blah, blah, blah. So I've always been working tactically at the same time as managing people. But I think it's really only being hired at Strava as an IC is the first time I really had to think about this and go, actually, if I don't get to manage 3, 4, 5 people and build a very large team, is that a huge problem? And it really isn't. And I think it's only when you're in that situation that you think about that, particularly if you've come from a background where you might have been managing teams. If you were to ask someone that's only ever managed, yeah, 3 teams of 3, 4, 5 and say, would you like to not manage anyone at all? Most people would probably say, well, no, because that implies that I'm more junior or I've taken a step back. Or I think when you remove that bit out of it, I think it's actually very satisfying. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. It's almost like, I don't want to say that the IC is like less prestigious path, or maybe we need to make it a less prestigious path, because otherwise we're pushing people into a management role that they're really not good at or don't like. So maybe it's a marketing problem for the marketing world.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting one, like from an organizational perspective, because I mean, ultimately, the reality is like, I can't physically do all the work that is necessary for our team. So we have agency partners. A lot of my job is kind of a quarterback role of making sure that we're producing what we need to produce and we're getting the results from those partners. So in a way, you could look at that and say, well, you could bring that resource in-house, and then it becomes a more traditional managerial role or whatever. So I think, there's ICs and ICs is what I'm saying. You could have an IC with absolutely no budget and absolutely no authority at all, and that wouldn't be much fun. And you have an IC that might have budget and might have some degree of, hey, here's your agenda, here's your budget, now go get some results. That's a very different proposition.
Well, let's switch up to another opinion that I think you have on the world of category creation, a very trendy term these days.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, category creation, I mean, again, I've sort of worked tangentially around this. My personal opinion is it's one of these areas where it's marketers want to differentiate. That's one of the kind of central value props, if you like, of like good marketing. You differentiate your brand, your value prop. So I think category creation is essentially an extension of that, in my opinion. And, you know, I've worked for a company called Bohurst, which is a data provider. We were essentially a company data provider, right? If you're an investor looking at Bohurst, you go, okay, it's a data provider. It's a SaaS data provider. That's what they do. But of course, to us, we were like, well, we're not that. There isn't anyone like us. We're collecting data on fast-growing companies, and we have a way to identify them. And we're almost like a fast-growth company. And so we were going through that process of category creation. We hadn't nailed it at all. But for me, it's like, it's that classic differentiation problem. How do you say, well, we're not like that. We're this whole other thing. And there's no one like us. And we're the only game in town.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I think a marketer would join a B2B company, and then their whole focus is just on doing this for maybe like 3 months. And then it really has little to no impact, when they could be like actually understanding, talking to customers, et cetera, and building campaigns that work. So I think it can be a distraction, and maybe shouldn't have as much focus as it should. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where if you commit to it and it becomes a thing, and you like, you have the campaign and the landing pages and the emails, and you put it in your website hero, and it's a big, big, big thing, and you repeat it for years, I can see it working completely. That's still not to say that it's anything radically different to what has been done for many, many years.
To what marketing actually is.
Right, marketing, yeah.
Let's move on then. And so this is going to form the main chunk of this discussion. And it's a product that you guys have. Is it the only B2B product, the Sponsored Challenge?
We are building stuff around that, but it's our like flagship product, I'd say, yeah.
Amazing. Could you just in like a couple of sentences just explain what that is?
So assuming some knowledge of Strava, I won't go into that. But a Sponsored Challenge is basically a way for a brand to incentivize people to be active. So that is cool. That is what it is. So it's a way for a brand to say to someone, run this amount, cycle this amount, whatever, over a period of time. If you meet that goal, we'll reward you with a discount or a chance to win prizes. That is it in a sentence.
Such a good idea. So let's say a brand, I can see the brands you have here. Let's just say North Face, they're going to give you guys, and I'm just making up the numbers, $1 million. And then for that, you guys will run this campaign, expose them to their audience, and they'll give like a prize or a discount as well as that to the people that hit the goal.
That's right. In essence.
Roughly like that. In essence. I have the homepage up for this. And let's just, this is business.strava.com. Yeah. So if we have any brands listening, business.strava.com. And I want to read out the one of the lines of the copy, which I think is absolutely brilliant. If you wrote this, Johnny, we should be giving you a medal.
Uh-oh.
So it's like it's the H2, so it's not the headline on the page. It's the second one is, you can be an interruptive ad for them on another platform or be their source of motivation on Strava. Johnny, was that you?
No.
It wasn't.
I can't say credit for that. I can't, but I think I've refined it.
Okay.
But the general gist of it was like that. No, it's a nice copy.
It's really, really nice. Because it's just tying, like I had this belief in B2B as well, that too many people are just trying to interrupt when actually we need to get them or add value to them. And here, the value is obviously a source of motivation. So it's brilliant. Okay, so we have this product. How are we finding the brands to come and run these challenges?
So full disclosure, Strava is a global brand. It's particularly, I think we forget in the UK, Strava is absolutely ubiquitous. In other territories, it's not. Still popular, but not quite as well known. So what that means is that there is a huge amount of latent demand for Strava. So you could have no marketer, you could have absolutely not even a website, and you would still get some inquiries. So my job and our team's job is how do we maximize, how do we basically like be a catalyst for that latent demand? And then on top of that, educate the market to say, you may not have actually even heard of Strava, but this is a platform that does this and these are the solutions that do that. So in terms of like how we do that, it's really a classic account-based marketing approach. You know, there are a limited number of brands that we can work with. I should say that we can't work with any brands. We want brands that partner with us on sponsored challenges to be authentic, to have an authentic proposition to athletes. So that's not to say they must only make running shoes, or they must only make like bikes, but they have to have a value proposition that resonates with Strava athletes. So for us, it's really, really simple, but it's how do you identify those brands? How do you work out who knows about us already, who doesn't, and what's the value prop? And then from there, it's just a simple question of how do you distribute that value prop as efficiently as possible, to be quite honest.
So yeah, the brands are very like authentic, in my opinion, like sports brands. So we've got Lululemon, great brand, North Face, great brand, New Balance, great brand. So that makes total sense. So I'm assuming, would it be right to assume that all of the brands that you guys would want to work with already know about Strava? Is that the case?
I think the core brands, sort of historical core brands to us, know about Strava. It's a million-dollar question, really. How many of them know about Strava but don't know about our B2B products? How many don't know about Strava and don't know about our products? How many of them don't even think about the category of like kind of native advertising, kind of mixed media, I guess, in a way? So it's almost impossible to know the true answer to that. But the way we strategically think about it, the way I strategically think about it is in those quadrants, I guess, of like, who knows about us, knows about our products. And it's a question of, can we come up with a good solution at essentially a good price at the right time? And then who fits within the kind of, I guess, gradually degrading points of view from that? Who knows Strava very well, but has never really thought about it as a channel for their business. And then how do we educate them in that way? So. Does that make sense? Kind of, you know, working along those lines.
So yeah, I get you. I bet you guys get like a chunk of decent inbound that come through, whether it's through this page or through other places. Are you guys like actively going out either with salespeople or adverts, let's say, to try and reach the other people that don't come inbound?
Exactly. Yeah, we do. But we're extremely careful about how we do that. And just simply because there'd just be absolutely no use. See, there'd be no value in us like doing any kind of like mass spray and pray crazy activities like that. So we do run ads on LinkedIn to a very, very targeted audience. Again, it's really more about like education, like educating on how Strava works for brands, which brands are actually using us, and also what they get out of it. So a lot of case studies, a lot of lower funnel material combined with more like upper funnel, like how do brands actually work on channels like us, and what are some examples of that?
So are you actually in there like doing the outbound or running the LinkedIn ads, or is that the agency partners, I guess?
Yeah, we've got agency partners to help us with that. But I have experience of doing it. it's just, again, it's a quarterback versus octopus sort of role, isn't it? If you have absolutely no budget and authority, you're an octopus. If you have something, you're a quarterback.
And so in terms of how like the success of B2B marketing at Strava is going to be measured, I guess will be like out of the, let's say, 100 brands that you guys would work with, the number of those that you work with in a year, is that, would that be accurate?
There's no two ways about it. I don't think there's any secret here. We're focused on revenue. But so quite simply, if revenue meets our targets, we've done a good job. But again, we're a company and a team that hugely cares about our brand and the authenticity of what we're offering. So there is zero chance we will hit our target with inauthentic, for want of a better word, bad brands. So that would not be a success. A success would be where we help Strava grow, we keep the experience great for the user, and we help brands grow as well.
I really love to hear that. And I'm always really interested in understanding how a business, A, builds their brand for like the external world. But then I assume since you've been working at Strava, your affinity to the brand, I assume maybe has got stronger. So also how brands do this internally. Is there any like brand insight you've had from being outside or inside Strava that you think, wow, that's really cool that we do this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. I think Strava's an amazing brand because of its scope. It's also very interesting because like all these big brands, it's kind of going through this evolution all the time of like, you know, historically, I can only speak for the UK, but in the UK, it grew as like through cycling clubs and through, you know, word of mouth with cyclists. And then it also became a sort of running thing. And it's expanded beyond running into all kinds of other sports. So seeing how that's changed, even in quite a short period of time, is really interesting. Seeing how Strava will grow over the next couple of years will be fascinating, particularly in the US. So I think, again, I suppose being on the inside, you see a brand less of a monolith and you see more of like collection of all these different ideas that come together, all these different focuses, and you kind of start to see the wood from the trees, if that makes sense. So it's not a very specific answer, but it's just like having a bit more detail into how these kind of these organizations work and how you keep those massive global brands top of mind is really interesting.
How would you describe the culture inside Strava?
I mean, it's probably the most extraordinary place I've ever worked, because not just because of the scale of the brands, but it's just, I think everyone is genuinely passionate about the brand and what we are trying to do of like this being the center of your active life, getting people fitter and like celebrating fitness. Whatever your level is, absolutely not about Olympic athletes and triathletes only. It's genuinely about the people meeting their best active life basically online. So yeah, I think from that perspective, everyone I've met is lovely as well. It's just one of those, it's very rare when you get that Venn diagram of like people who are hugely ambitious and also genuinely really good people of any level, whether they're all the way from CEO down to my level and below. So yeah, it's genuinely an extraordinary place.
Yeah, I would love to see like the hiring process, because I assume you, Strava, do not want, or are not just going to obviously hire super fit people, but there must be a screening for people that are passionate about helping other people get fit, I assume, because for everybody in the business to be so passionate about this, the mission, there must be some really nice filtering happening in the hiring process.
Well, I can't speak to that, but I'd say again, it's really not a case of like, we must only hire really fit, active people. It's people who have to believe in the mission and it has to be an appealing prospect for you, full stop, I guess. But no, there's no kind of like absolute filtering for like, show us your Strava. How many miles have you done this week? That's totally not what we're about.
Is there any like sneaky preview of the other B2B stuff that's coming up for Strava that you're allowed to share?
I think the short answer is I can't be specific, but I can talk about, I think we're looking at content increasingly. And I'd say this is not a secret. We're working on collaborative content with brands on our stories site, so stories.strava.com, which is basically a way for brands to do collaborative content with us. So you get brands like Camelback, Katie Tape, and a few others who want to reach our audience in an authentic way. And sometimes the challenge is right for them and sometimes it's not. So having that as an option is really interesting for them. And obviously there's huge scope for that to grow. And we're looking at all kinds of ways that that could be distributed. So watch this space.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on here now. I've got a piece written by, I think it's focused on a cycling brand. It goes really deep. This is a partner article, 4 lessons amateur cyclists can learn from the World Tour's cyclist training.
Yes.
Yeah, so like super deep, specific training from like experts. And I can't see who the paid partner is here, but Join Sports, Join Cycling App, I assume is the paid partner. Yeah, that makes total sense. So it's really just like you have this, I think it's about 100 million active users, right? This significant database of active users they're probably quite good for businesses to expose themselves to, because I'm just generalizing here, because they have an interest in health. And then the B2B function is just essentially finding, obviously a lot of businesses would want to get exposed to them, but you just want to choose the right ones and then either expose them to this audience in exchange for the competition or create content with them and distribute that. So that's like high level of the strategy.
Yeah. I mean, I think again, to my point before, okay, we're a revenue focused team, but our job is to keep the experience authentic. And I think obviously, if you have authentic brands that add something to the experience, that's a better experience for the user. It means the user is more likely to stay on Strava and also to recommend others. So we try and look at it holistically. We're not an average B2B sales team. It's very much against, as you said, like how do we find the right brands at the right time that are a fit for the platform?
Makes total sense. Honestly, it sounds like an awesome job.
Thanks. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Amazing. Right. So we are going to obviously, we'll link to business.strava.com and we'll also link to storage.strava.com just so people can check it out. And we'll obviously link to Strava. We'll obviously link to your LinkedIn, Johnny. Anything else we should mention or link to?
I think that's all good. We are actually in the process of redoing our site and moving stuff over to another domain, but we'll sort all of that out with redirects and whatever.
And that'll be redirected, exactly. Yeah. Amazing. Well, Johnny, awesome to hear about a B2B world that I wasn't really aware of. Makes total sense though, and it sounds super cool. You guys have some cool brands and it seems like a win-win for you guys, the brands and the customers. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Really good to talk to you.
All right. Thank you, Johnny. Strava sounds like an awesome company to be in B2B at. Sounds super, super good. Love how they built that magnetic or really enduring and attractive brand, both externally but internally, e.g. everyone really lives the values. I feel like that is the real key building any impactful B2B or really any business. So thanks to Johnny for coming on. Thank you to Fame for producing, editing this show. If you like one of these, we do three things: find a book guest, produce all the assets needed, and then also take responsibility for growing the show. If you would like this for your B2B company, go to fame.so. Submit a proposal request to say that you came from Confessions of a B2B Marketer, and I'll make sure they look after you. And then, of course, thanks to you for listening.